how do you, and I know you're relatively new to the football club, and I know we spoke 12 months ago, so how do you assess where Aston Villa are, given the obvious context that we're talking in?
It's a great question. I think because I'm involved in all aspects of the club and I know what's happening behind the scenes, you know, I have the ability to look behind, obviously, the most obvious thing that everybody looks at, which is the table, which clearly is not where we want to be and it's not good enough. But, you know, I look at everything we've done in the past year in the area of commercial and commercial development, and we've made significant progress, not only generating more revenue in the short term on both our shirt and kit deals, but also in other secondary deals, and really, quite frankly, in our ability to control costs. So we're making progress there, and I'm really pleased with that. I look at the setup at Bodymore on the football side. Bringing Patty Riley back before I came here, I think, was something Randy thought was important. And Randy, I think, had a good instinct on Patty. He's done a very good job developing, really for the first time, a network of scouts that we've never had before. So our ability to look into European football markets is much different than it ever has been. We have a greater capability. And I'm really pleased we were able to attract someone of Hendrik Almstad's quality from a great club like Arsenal. For the past 4 years there, he has done exactly what we're asking him to do here. And so while it's easy to look just at the table, and clearly, you know, we live and die by the results, I'm also able to see all of the things that we're trying to do and all the changes we're making, and I'm very positive about the changes that we've been able to make in the last year and where we're going.
You can understand that a fan would hear all that and then look at the league table and probably see the world very, very differently to you. So what do you say to that difference between the short term mentality, if you like, let's stay in the Premier League, and the long-term stuff, which you've talked about building something at Aston Villa that's going to stand the test of time?
I think that's really the key. Clearly, we don't want to be where we are, and the fact that we went out and did quite a bit of business this summer, and those players are featuring heavily, says to me that the things we did, and also speaking to the manager, the things we did in the summer are things that are having a positive impact on the squad, but we're just not getting the results that we need, and I know that that's where most people are going to focus their time and attention. I guess, you know, we've been in a difficult position, though, for the past 4 or 5 years now, and we have never, until the past year, really started to strip back and look at what the underlying problems are. Why did we have a squad that was underperforming what we were spending? Why did we have a massive football club in the biggest regional city in England with a European Cup and an incredible pedigree in football generating less revenue than 8 to 10 other clubs in much smaller markets and smaller cities? I look at those things and I think those are really part of the fundamental problem, and they are why we are where we are. So we're making the changes necessary, but there's obviously some short-term pain in that. And what I would ask the supporter base, by the way, the away support and the home support have been amazing, and I have to say that because I don't get a chance to talk to them as a group enough. I would ask them to keep the faith and to give this group of players as much support as they possibly can. It's not where we want to be. It's certainly not where the players want to be, but they need some confidence to deliver in the short term. But I'm very confident, looking behind the scenes, that what we're building for the long term will be a more successful Villa back in the league where it needs to be and competing year in and year out. And I know that it's difficult for people to understand right now, but that's what we're building, and I'm confident we can get there.
I just want to debunk a couple of rumors, press report, call you one, that the squad you've got wasn't entirely the last manager's decision, and two, that one of the players, Adama Traore, is not playing now because you can't afford him to play, basically.
I think, you know, we could be here a long time if I had to debunk every rumor that was out there. You know, I can just point to two things. One, there was an article in the Birmingham Mail on September 2nd, you know, where our manager talked about this squad being his players, and succeed or fail, he'll take the blame or the credit. And, you know, we had a process that involved a few people, and, you know, when I read those quotes, that absolutely was consistent with the process that I saw play out in the summer. I also, you know, I point to the first question that was asked of our new manager, which is whether he had final say on the players, and his very quick and unequivocal answer was yes, of course. So I'll just answer the question in that way, I think.
And Adama?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where that started. I mean, no one other than people at the football club have any line of sight on contracts. What I can tell you is he's an incredibly talented young player. We have a lot of confidence in our ability, the current manager's ability to develop into something very special. But there's no way he can ever be our most expensive player, no matter how many times he starts. So I don't know where that... Look, I hope he starts every game. I hope he proves to the manager in training that he's worthy of a start, but it's nothing to do with why he may or may not be playing.
It's patently obvious to anybody that you're trying to rebuild the Aston Villa brand and to get them to a position where you want them to be, and that's admirable. But that's a long-term project. There is a short-term project, and that's relegation staring you in the face. Have you any short-term plans to fight that off? And I know we've talked about it before. Hanging on by your fingertips is probably, even if you did, is surely more better than the other way going down.
We'd love to stay up, and we want to do anything we can to stay up. Going into the transfer market and spending unlimited amounts of money to give yourself the false appearance that you may stay up is probably not the right answer. Having your manager put another 4 or 5 matches under his belt with this squad, having him truly evaluate what he has and what he thinks he might need, and then making recommendations, I think is the strategy for the short term. And if Remy Gard wants to do things, whether it's ins or outs in January, I know he has the support of our owner, and he certainly has his ear as well.
So it'll be down to the manager to evaluate the squad. If he wants anything, to talk to you and Randy.
Absolutely. And our job with the football setup that we have there with our scouting and recruiting department and with our sporting director in Hendrick is to give him as much support as possible if he identifies ins or outs. But I think, you know, the important thing right now is to focus on the games in front of us. You can't sit here and think about players that aren't with the squad. You've got to focus on the players that are here and the games coming up because they're critical. And I know the manager is focused on that right now. When the time comes, he'll have a perspective on what he needs to do, and he'll get nothing but support for that.
Before you arrived, under previous managers, there was a lot of players costing fortunes nowhere near the squad. And I know from things that were said then that Randy wanted to utilise his money better. Presumably there are players now that are, because I'm looking at the squad and seeing there are players that are not playing. So presumably there's money there that could be freed up to use to buy players.
Look, I think when we talk about the changes that we're making to the club, one of the things we need to do is to create a structure that allows us to make better decisions. You're putting an awful lot of pressure on one person. If you say to the football manager, tell us what our needs are, tell us exactly which players you want, and all we'll do is then go out and execute against that. What any manager really wants, I think, is a group of people helping him in that endeavor. And I think one of the reasons we got ourselves into the position that we've been in is we didn't have quite the setup that we have right now. We certainly didn't have the level of scouting and recruiting that could help the manager identify players that might fill the needs that he wants. And I'm very confident we have the ability to look anywhere in Europe, down into different leagues and different divisions, to give him the support that he needs. And yes, our objective over time is to build a squad where as much of the money that's being spent is on the pitch and contributing. That's the goal of any football club, and we aren't there yet. We're very far from that.
I've been critical of the recruitment, as I'm sure you know. I've been very critical of the recruitment process at Aston Villa based on what I've seen, but also based on the results. Am I being unfair?
You know, when you talk about the recruitment process, I think people who are critical of the process, I don't think quite understand how football clubs buy and sell players. We didn't do anything this summer that every other football club in the world doesn't do. We identified the needs that our current manager thought he had. We challenged some of those, which led to great discussion, and in the end we got to a very good place in terms of what our needs were. And then we went about looking at suggestions on who could fill those needs. Some of those suggestions came from our extensive scouting and recruiting areas. Some of them came from the manager. And then we talked about those, and we tried to create a list of acceptable options in the event that your first choice wasn't available. You had other people that you could target. It's exactly the way it works at every other football club. There was never a sense that there was a group of people who were trying to make decisions that weren't supported fully by, quite frankly, the coaching staff, who was going to have to bring them in and develop the players, because some of the players we're buying have development needs, and you know, you want to be honest with your coaching staff about those players and what type of needs they have and how they need to be developed. But there was never any suggestion that, you know, we were going to get a player that our management wasn't supportive of.
Just finally, Randy Lerner, there's a lot of fans criticise he's never at the games, but it's not quite that simple, is it? You know, in terms of where he lives and the rest of it. But that doesn't mean, does it, that he's lost interest?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'd be honest with you, I don't understand why him being here is so critical. I know he has a very difficult life. His life is in New York. He runs a business. He's got a family. And it's not easy for him to get over. He has a great deal of confidence in the management team he's put in place. I talked to him, as I've said repeatedly, many, many times throughout the course of the week. He's been an incredible source of support for me and my entire management team. He's given us everything we need to be successful. And I'll say it again, he loves the club.
And a new chairman on the way.
Yeah, that's our hope in the new year, that we can have a chairman that can come in and really give us some added horsepower in the board and our ability to start making even better decisions. I'm especially looking forward to working alongside a chairman who's local and who's involved. It will be a big support for me personally.
Good luck in your fight against
relegation. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that. Thanks.